I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to bid each and every one of you a hearty welcome here this morning. If there are guests in our midst, also a hearty welcome, and may you feel the love of God in our midst. And as Christians, this is the Advent time where we prepare ourselves, we could say, for the climax when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we look at the characters of Christmas, Mary and Joseph, baby Jesus, there's the shepherds, the angels, and yet, do you know who the most important characters are in the Christmas story? They are you and me. That is the reason why Jesus came, for you and me. We are part of that Christmas story. That Christmas story isn't 2,000 years old, we could say. This Christmas story is living today. And we want to look at or prepare ourselves for that very important time. But before we do that, let us unite our hearts for opening prayer. Almighty God, we come to you this morning. We come to seek that which we cannot find anywhere else. That is the peace and joy that we all long for. It is not the peace and joy that the world has to offer. We know that the peace and joy the world has to offer only lasts for a little while. But we are looking for that that lasts forever and into eternity. And this we can only find in your Son, Jesus. And once we have found this peace and joy, help us so that we can also lead someone else to that. And at this Christmas season, we find that many are depressed or heavy laden. The world makes it so busy and has so much to offer that one can not keep up. We pray that we will not go along with the worldly Christmas, but stop and think on the lovely gift that God has given us. We pray this in the name of your precious gift, Jesus. Amen.
Take your blue hymn book, turn to page 73. It is well with my soul.
When sorrows like sea number 66, 'Twas a Glad Day When Jesus Found Me.
The songwriter puts it very well. It was a glad day when Jesus found me. And fortunately, it also continues on each day as we go on. And this morning, we want to look once again at the significance of the season and the glad tidings that we are celebrating. We are in a time where a lot of preparations are being made for Christmas. And many of the preparations that we make really have nothing to do with the real meaning of Christmas. But the Advent part of Christmas points us in the direction of Jesus Christ. Points us that He will come and that He will come again. Or that He has come and will come again. We live in a time where we hear a lot of bad news. Every time we turn on the news, there's wars, bombings, personal scandals, spiritual, political corruption, riots, wildfires, and so much more. With, you know, satellite communication, we have news 24/7. We are made aware of all the bad news around us. But this morning, I'm not here to talk about bad news, but rather, this morning I'm a messenger of good news. Yes, the media will pick up the worst of the stories and make sure as much information as possible is broadcasted about it. But this morning, we want to pick up the best of a story and make sure that we all know that the best news for us today is that Jesus Christ has come to be our Lord and Savior. As words of text, I'm going to take two portions. First of all, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Then we want to go to John 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now this certainly is the most best news that we have ever heard. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has come to redeem his people. But the news of his coming is only half of the story. There is more good news. The other half of that story is that Jesus Christ is coming again. Why is he coming again? Didn't he come to save us? He did. But he's coming again to receive his own unto himself forever to be with him. You see, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 prepares us for John 3, 2 and 3. John 14, 2 and 3. It just can't get better than this. Too many people today live their lives as if Christ has died but never arisen from the dead. Too many of us are weighed down by our daily circumstances as if there was no hope for a better future. Too many of us place our hope and happiness on material things that have no real value and no promise for true peace and lasting satisfaction. Too many of us fail to look beyond our present trials and difficulties to a glorious future waiting for all who have placed their hope and trust in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, friends, we have a living and a loving Savior who is constantly at work in each one of our lives. The Holy Spirit is Christ's gift to all that have opened their hearts to accept the free gift of salvation. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In these two verses, the Apostle Paul talks about first the coming of Christ and the benefits we can enjoy today. He also talks about the future coming of Christ and that we already can rejoice in the hope and glory of God to come. And those of us that have been justified by faith in Jesus now have peace with God. Peace with God through the work of Christ. Yes, the enmity between our souls and God has been removed. We have been changed from foes to friends. Therefore, we are near and dear to God as his beloved Son. This means that we look forward to the time that we will be with God. And in this Christmas story, we read of an angel that is coming to the shepherds. These shepherds, they were doing what they always had been doing, caring for their sheep. And suddenly, their night was interrupted by a bright light and the appearance of an angel. And as brave and fearless as the shepherds were, this was enough to give them a real scare. But their fears were calmed when an angel came and said, "I bring you good news." It was good tidings of great joy for all the people. And this was probably the first time in their lives where the shepherds felt included in society. The shepherds were told to go to Bethlehem, where they would find this baby that was sent from heaven. They were the first witnesses where God the Father stooped down from heaven and laid his dear Son, Jesus, into the arms of his creation, Joseph and Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verses 68 and 69, 68 to 79. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And then Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." In Luke, when we read in verse 68, we know that God's plan was not just to drop in for a visit and to see how everybody was doing. God's plan was very specific. This was prophecy fulfilled. The Messiah, the Redeemer of the world, the Creator had come to reclaim his creation. We are all familiar with the story of Adam and Eve. Through their sin, all mankind has fallen into sin. And through their sin, man was separated from God. And for the next 4,000 years, God promised that a Messiah would come to reconcile sinful man again to a holy God. The Apostle Paul said, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son." Why was it necessary for Christ to come? When we go back to the creation story, we find that Adam and Eve had a desire to be like God. We find that in Genesis chapter 3. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Here we find that mankind had a desire to elevate himself to the position of God. And we also find that God was not about to allow this to happen. Christ did not come to lower his standards to man, but he came to raise man's standards to his. And we realize that in spite of our very best efforts, in our human nature, we simply cannot stand righteous before a holy God. It was sin that broke this perfect relationship. It was sin that separated us from God. This separation was so great that mankind himself was powerless to do anything about it. This separation between man and God now needed to be brought back together again. And there was only one who could do this. Jesus Christ needed to become man. And yet, by becoming man, he lost nothing of his also being God. He needed to take the sin of all mankind and become a living sacrifice for each one of us. The Apostle Paul puts it well in Romans 5. Romans 5, verses 8 to 11. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Friends, our connection to God has been reconciled. Yes, Jesus Christ has brought heaven and earth together again. This is the good news of the gospel. The love of God is completely supernatural. The world cannot teach us or show us this kind of love. Why did he do it? It was his sovereign will. Not that we deserved it, but now we are not reckoned as guilty sinners anymore because of the enormous cost of the Savior's blood that he shed on Calvary. We have been counted righteous by God. Out of ourselves, we would have been content to be enemies with God. But God did not share that attitude. He intervened in a display of pure grace. Now we can rejoice not only in his gifts, but in the giver himself. We now long for God instead of distancing ourselves from him. It is important for us to understand that salvation is not only to give us entry into heaven, but that God also wants to have a relationship with us through his Son, Jesus. Yes, God wants us to be his sons and his daughters, and that our words, our actions, and thoughts are a reflection of what he has done for each one of us. Now, before we continue in our message this morning and look at the second portion of our text, I want to give you all the opportunity to go on bended knee, and we have two prayer requests. First one is, please pray for Henry and Lena Clausen. Henry is diagnosed with cancer, and we would appreciate your prayers. And the second one is a prayer request for Eva Lepke and her son, John. John is in hospital, not doing well. Thank you. So taking these individuals into consideration and whatever else lies on your heart, whoever's able, let us all kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. With assurance, where two or three are gathered in his name, God will hear our prayers.
Let us take the blue book and turn to number 34. How great thou art. Number 34, and for those who are able, let's stand.
Went through the woods and
The question today is, how is our connection or relationship between us and our God? Can we understand that when God gave us his dear Son, that he included you and me? Can we understand that we would be entirely without hope if this had not happened? Do we understand that without Jesus, we will not inherit heaven when we die? And if we do understand, have we done anything about it? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We must understand that this living hope is not only for this life here on earth, but even more so after we have been called away from here. And verse 4 describes our future. It describes our future in heaven. It talks about an inheritance that does not change. Earthly inheritance very often changed because of circumstances, but not this inheritance that God has waiting for us. This living hope that Christ has given us when he was born in Bethlehem is our only hope for eternal life. And this thought brings us to the second portion of our text in John 14, where Jesus tells us that he will go and prepare a place for us. And when he is preparing a place for us, he will come again so that we can be where he is. So once again, we see that in Luke chapter 2 prepares us for this John 14, verse 2 and 3. The joy of Christ being born in Bethlehem would not be complete without the joy of knowing that he will come again. He will come again for his own. And as believers, we are all waiting for that day where the bridegroom will come for his bride. And speaking of good news, Jesus did not only come into this world to take away our sins, but he went back to heaven. He went back to heaven to do what? To prepare an eternal dwelling place for all his people. Not only will this be a place to live, but it will be a place of no pain, of no sorrow, no heartache, no fear, no disappointments, no temptations, no sin, no dying, and forever being in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, can there be any better news than that? No, there can't. It just can't get better. If only we could learn to live our lives with eternity always in mind, a lot of our behaviors and our attitudes would change. Then we would find that a lot of those things that are so important to us now would really not be important to us at all. Our fears and our complaining would turn into courage and praise, knowing that this life is not our destination, but rather it is only a journey. Our destination has a much higher calling than this life can offer. The Lord's coming is imminent, meaning that everything has been done. The stage is set. The hour is drawing near. And when we look around us, we saw so much end time activity all over the world. The end time clock is moving closer to the hour of 12. When a couple of years ago, the U.S. recognized Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel. Now, Jerusalem has always been God's city. But this is very controversial. Very controversial with the world leaders and the media and the Muslim community. The Muslim community says that Jerusalem is their city. Yes, this will cause a lot of uprising. And we know that the Islamic people are not about to be compromised or to be submissive. So we might ask, why would the U.S. then have done this if it becomes such a controversial issue? If it causes such a stir among the people, and we see it cause riots, wars, bloodshed. But I believe this was not a U.S. decision at all. What this was God moving forward on his timetable. It seems like Jerusalem will be the focal point during the tribulation period. But looking through the eyes of the world leaders, it does not make any sense. But when we look through the eyes of prophecy, this makes a lot of sense. Yes, when the church age has come to an end and will be removed, God will focus more on the Jewish people, the land of Israel, and the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem has always been the focal point of the world. and will even be more so in the time to come. But we need to remember this has little to do with politics, but much more with prophecy moving forward to the time when Jesus will come again. Let's keep our eyes and our ears open. What may seem as bad news to the unbelieving world may be good news to us as believers. Let's look at the news and whatever is happening around us and throughout the world. Let's look at this through the eyes of prophecy. We will then see how the world stage is being set and being prepared for the coming Antichrist. This Antichrist will step in when there is political and economic chaos, and when there is corruption in numerous countries around the world. Countries will be looking for someone who will rescue them from all this. The people have rejected the real Christ, but will accept the false Christ. The unbelievers will be looking for an Antichrist, but we as believers, we have placed our hope and trust in the real Christ. So at this Advent time, we do not only celebrate the coming of the Messiah, but also we are celebrating that he is coming again. And if anyone is afraid of the time that we are in, or that is to come, we need to go back to Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Where the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." That news is still true today. We do not need to fear. The time that we are in should not scare us, but rather it should prepare us. As long as we are on God's side, we have nothing to fear. And to all of you here this morning, while you are pursuing your goals and are preparing for your life, the life that is ahead of you, do all of this with eternity in mind. If you want to succeed in life, your best foundation is Jesus Christ. But we have to also remember that the devil is hard at work in trying to destroy us by distracting us from our spiritual activity. But let us not allow the pleasures of sin or our busy schedules to destroy that relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us put Jesus first in our lives. And all of our other activities, school, careers, marriage, or whatever it may be, if you put Jesus first in your life, all this will have a much deeper value and meaning for you. Now, no one of us is guaranteed tomorrow. So then today is a good time to ask ourselves, where will I spend eternity? Where will I spend eternity if I die today? Would I spend eternity with the true Christ in heaven? Or would I spend eternity with a false Christ in hell? And if there's anyone here this morning that is still without salvation, no matter what the age, we urge you, come to Christ, to accept his salvation. Commit your life to Christ. And the guarantee will be there that you will have the best Christmas you ever had. When you choose salvation, you choose eternal life. Now, it would have been so easy for God to say to the world, the people have turned away from me. They have chosen to worship other gods. I will punish them. They do not deserve salvation through my beloved Son. My friends, we can be so thankful that he has chosen to grant us mercy, love, and forgiveness. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then we want to go to John 3. John 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God chose not to reject or to condemn the world, but to love the world, which includes you and me. And at Christmas time, we do not only see the manger, we also see a cross. We do not only see the stall where the child was born, we also see an empty tomb. We do not see Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, but we also see each one of us in that picture. Christmas is all about you and me. And as we prepare for Christmas, let us remember why Jesus came and that the gift of love from God to his people is to each one of us today. And may that thought bring joy and peace to each one of us. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Father, we thank you for life. That is a gift we cannot be without. If we did not have this gift, we couldn't exist. We can see this when a baby is born, that you have given it life. We can also see it that you are in control when someone is called away from here. And without you, we just wouldn't exist. But our biggest thanks go out to you for your Son, Jesus. And without him, our life would not be complete. We pray for those that have not accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, that they also may accept him as their Savior and find the peace that everyone is longing for. And Lord, we thank you for this Advent season. And help us to use this time for what you have intended it for, to celebrate the birth of your Son. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and in the evening. And so let us once again kneel in prayer, whoever is able. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Let's take our blue book and turn to number 92, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Number 92.
Morning. Thank you, Brother Jake, for the message. Just a few announcements. Just to take note that there will be no men's breakfast this month, the month of December. And also the Sunday School Christmas program is coming up. So that's on the 15th at 7:30. And also still the baby dedication. So for anybody who wants to register, to please contact Art Weeb. And we're still looking for welcome hosts, so if there's anybody who is interested in being a welcome host, to please sign up. I believe there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, or to call Sarah, and her phone number is in the bulletin. And I would just like to mention again that the power of prayer. I have some praise. I have some prayer requests and also some praise that we need to say our prayers, but we also need to send up our praises. there's a Jake Cron. He had an aneurysm, and it's a miracle story that he had. This was just shared this morning. And he was given only a couple hours to live. He was asked to say goodbye to his family, but everything worked out with the ambulance, with the doctors. Everything, the timing was perfect. And he's with us here this morning. So when when we ask for prayers, your prayers are heard, and your prayers are answered, and miracles are still happening. And then there's an update on Jake Wolf, Jake and Helena. Jake has been in the hospital for quite some time already, and his pain is getting worse. And I'll just read the note that was given me. Doctors have have confirmed that the cancer has now spread into his skull. He is in a lot of pain, and the family has asked for prayers that the medical staff might keep him comfortable and his pain might be kept under control. The family would also like to thank everybody for the prayers they've already received. And it happens time and time again that when I talk to these people, that they can feel your prayers. And there's also Mary Weeb, she's passed on, but let's keep the family in your prayers. And then Neil and Eva Peters. Eva had a heart and a lung replacement and is now recovering in Winnipeg. Thank you for your continued prayer support for the family and the healthcare providers. This is another story where they are just beside themselves, Neil and Eva, on how smooth everything went and how quickly they're recovering. It's another miracle story. And this is another one of those where I've asked for your prayers and you guys prayed and God answered. And then there's a prayer request for Mary Weeb, who's dealing with a lot of pain, back pain, and nausea, and just feeling sick. Please pray for reduced pain and that she will feel God's healing power through her body, and also pray for God's strength and peace. So, and there's more stories. There's more people who are struggling, who are in the hospital, who are going through hard times, that are suffering with pain, and not just physical pain, spiritual pain. And then there's also stories of people losing loved ones. So if you know of anybody who's lost a loved one, just pray for them. So let's keep each other in our prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Henry. Prayer is a tool that God has given us, and he wants us to use it. And we can see that it's a tool that works. And so let us use it abundantly. I want to thank you all for coming this morning and partaking in our service and song and prayer, and the Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for the benediction found in 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And may you go in the peace this Advent season has brought us.